That's right. That's what we do here at Hoboken Grace. Keep you in Jersey longer. What an amazing, amazing story about priority and what it is that we give our time to. And I think it works perfectly with the conversation that we've been having. And if you haven't been with us right now, we are asking and engaging what I think is probably the most important question of our lives, which is, what am I here for? What is this whole thing about? What is my purpose? And we've seen how God, as he steps into our lives, he stepped in and said, listen, I didn't just start planning this thing a little bit ago. I have had from the very beginning, before I even set anything in motion, I have had a plan and I have been executing that plan. And there's incredible complexity to that plan. And inside of that plan, and this is the thing that should just blow our minds, inside of that plan, he says, I have created you, not just to be a backdrop in that plan, but he says, no, inside that plan, there are things that I specifically have planned for you to do. That I didn't just come up with a few years ago, that I didn't develop a plan for you because you happened to show up. No. I planned you before this whole thing started, and there are things that I planned for you to do before this whole thing started. I mean, that's amazing. That's insane. And God has stepped in and said, no, you have to understand. You have to understand. I'm not just winging this thing, and I have a plan for you. And he's calling us, the way that you see it consistently in scriptures is that he's calling us into that plan. He's calling us into our purpose. And so we've begun to look at, okay, what does that call look like? And how do I answer that call? And it begins with the fundamental call that we talked about last week, where he steps in and says, no, I'm calling you into, my plan was to adopt you. I'm calling you into my love. And he says, I want for you to embrace. What I want for you, what I created you for, is that I wanted to love you. And I wanted you to embrace my love. And we walked through and talked about that last week. How'd it go? Did you feel love? Were you able to experience God's love? Did you take time to be able to soak that in this week? It's interesting because inside of our groups, we built on that and looked at worship and how we respond to God's love. Some of you just skipped the love part and went straight to the worship part because we're uncomfortable. We're uncomfortable with being loved, and we're uncomfortable with the fact that, is it possible that the fundamental calling of our lives isn't active, it's passive? And I think we're uncomfortable with that because we want to do something that we can say that we've accomplished, or we want to be able to show that we've done something. And God says, no, it doesn't start there. It doesn't start with what you're going to do for me. It starts with you experiencing something from me. And he says, I want for you to embrace my love. But it doesn't stop there. And today we want to build on that. And I want to take you to another, what I believe is a fundamental calling of God in our lives. As we've been walking through this, we've been looking at the book of Ephesians, and Paul, this individual that God used to be able to take the message of Jesus all throughout the Roman Empire, this individual that God used to be able to speak through him to us and to the churches that he was planting at the beginning of this incredible movement of the church. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. And as we've been looking at, he's talking about God's plan for them. And he's talking about, no, he has things that he planned for you before this whole thing started. And we looked at last week how he's talking about his plan was to adopt you and bring you into that love. And as we continue today, we're going to continue in Ephesians because as he's working through this, he's helping them understand, no, this is what God's calling you to. Where we pick up, we're going to pick up in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 1, and it says this. It says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, because Paul had been thrown into prison as he's writing this to the church at Ephesus. He'd been thrown into prison for sharing Christ. And he says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. He says, I want for you, he's talking them through this plan and the fact that God's calling them, and he says, I want for you to live a life that's worthy of that calling, that embraces that calling, that lives out that calling, for you have been called by God. And then he begins to unpack again a little bit further what it is that God's calling us to. Now, what it is that he continues with is a little bit surprising, because listen to how he continues. He says, I want you to live worthy of your calling. How do I do that? God's called you. Okay, what is he calling me to? Listen to what he says. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. He begins to talk to them about how they engage one another. Make every effort. I love that phrase right there. He says, I want for you to make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. And then he's all in on this focus and on this theme of one. He says, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, in all, and living through all. He says, I want for you to live a life that's worthy of your calling. God's called you. Okay, Paul, what does that look like? What is he calling me to? And what is it that he begins to describe? He begins to describe family. And he says, I don't want you to just embrace God's love. No, I want for you to embrace God's family. How is it that I respond to the call? How do I live in that call? He says, I want for you to be part of community. The most fundamental call of our lives is to be loved by God. The next, I believe, is to engage his family. Is that I want for you to embrace community. I want for you to engage my family. And I love how he says it again. Make every effort. He says, I want for you to work. And I love that he says it right there, because he's acknowledging that it's not always easy. But he says, I want for you to make every effort to be able to as one, engage this journey, to embrace one another and to engage this journey together. And he's calling them into community. And I believe that as you look at the scriptures, because God's speaking through Paul to you today, and he's saying, you were created to be in community, and I'm calling you into community. And this is more important. This is more important than most of us recognize. Even those of us who are in community, even those of us who are engaging God's family, this is more important than most of us recognize. Because one of the things that God wants to do as we engage his family, and one of the things that happens as we engage community, is that community is essential to clarifying purpose. Community is essential to clarifying purpose. Your purpose is clarified inside of community. Now, before we're going to be able to understand this, we're going to have to shift the way that we think about purpose a little bit, because for many of us, we still think of our purpose as something that's out there, and we have to figure it out, and then we have to execute it. So someone asked me this question this week. They said, how much time should I set aside in my life to figure out God's purpose for my life? Like, it's this thing out there that you have to figure out, and then after you figure it out, then you're going to be able to consistently execute it. And I think a lot of that is wrapped up in the fact that we still look at it as a role, or we still look at it as a position. And a lot of people interact with me, and they say, well, you found your purpose. You're a pastor. But my purpose is a lot bigger than that, and my purpose could lead me to a lot of different roles. When you look at Paul's life, Paul, as he's on this journey, he embraced God's purpose. He pursued God's purpose for his life. But at different times, he was doing different things. And so sometimes he's a pastor. Sometimes he's a missionary. Sometimes he's a tent maker. It takes him in all sorts of different directions. Your purpose is not a position. It's not a position. And it's not this thing out there that's defined that you got to figure out and then execute. No, no, no. Your purpose is something that God leads you into and that God leads you through. This is really frustrating for some of us because we want God to step in and say, okay, this is what you're going to do with your life. Go. But he doesn't do that. He steps in and he says, okay, this is what I want to do next. And you're like, well, what's after that? No, no, no. Nope, nope. One step at a time. This is what I want to do next. And then this is what I want to do next. And this is where I'm going to take you next. And then this is how I'm going to use you next. And sometimes it's really big things like directions in life, where we're going to live and what we're going to do. Sometimes it's really small things like have you ever been in a situation where all of a sudden you felt like God's like, you need to go talk to that person? You're like, I don't even like that person. Yeah, but you need to go. Or where God, all of a sudden you're like, man, I just feel like God wants me to be able to share something with you. You heard Emma's story, and she's like, sometimes I'm in group, and it just seems like something shared in group, and God knew exactly what I needed to hear. And sometimes it's big things, and sometimes it's small things. And God leads you into it and through it. And a big part of why he does it that way is because he knows if he tells you, okay, this is what it is, you know what you're going to do? You're not going to stick with him. You're going to run out there and try to accomplish it. You'd be like, okay, God, got it. I'll go make sure that happens. Take off. And all of this, all of it, we cannot lose sight of this. All of it is about relationship. And God's like, no, don't worry about next step. Just stay here with me. Listen. If you accomplish everything that God intended for you to accomplish, but you don't do it with him, you will have missed your purpose. Drastically. It's all about relationship. Would you believe that he loves you? Like the way you really long to be loved. It's all about relationship. And so he's like, now we're doing this together. We're doing this together. And I'm going to lead you through it. And I'm going to guide you through it. And in that, as he's leading and guiding us through it, there's a couple different ways how God speaks into our lives. The first one is through his word. And so scripture is given to us for us to be able to see, okay, this is how God's this is what it is that God wants me to do. And there are certain things in our life that we know, like God's defined this. Even as we walk through this, what are we doing? We're coming to God's word because we know that it defines for us how he's fundamentally calling us in life. And so he speaks through scripture. The second thing, and the second way that he speaks is through his spirit. And you can bring up all three. So and the next way that he moves or works in our life is through his spirit. This is what Anthony oftentimes talks about, or I'm talking about, where we talk about nudges. You feel God nudging you in your life. It's what we just talked about a couple seconds ago, where you're like, man, I feel like God wants me to do that. I feel like God wants me to do that. The third way is through his people. Inside of her story, Emma talked about this, right? How God speaks through his people. The interesting thing is this. Listen, pay attention. The third is what brings clarification to the first two. The third is what brings clarification to the first two. It's his people are always the ones to confirm the first two. Because sometimes we engage with scripture and we walk out with something crazy. All of us have done it. You engage it and you didn't understand the context, whatever it may be. Like you can walk out with some crazy things. How many of you have seen people use the scripture in crazy ways? All of us have seen it. Just turn on the TV on a Saturday night. You'll find it on some channel, okay? It's really easy to do. And so God says, even as Jesus is interacting with his disciples, he's like, listen, don't do this thing on your own. Like make sure you do this together. And he actually gives authority when they're together. He says, when two or three of you together, that's when there's authority. On your own? No. no. Why? Because his people are what confirm that. And we're able to have confidence in how we're engaging with the scripture because of the fact that we're in community. And then also, in addition to that, his people are also what confirm how God is speaking through his spirit in our lives. And inside of community, as you're inside of community, you're able to share, like, I really think God's leading me this direction, or I really think God's doing this in my life. And that community can either affirm that, or sometimes in our lives, the community is like, I'm not so sure about that. And throughout the scripture, you see this happening. Let me take you to two examples where we see this happening inside of the early church, just as the church is starting. The first is in Acts chapter 6, verse 2. It says, so the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. The apostles were busy doing all this ministry, and they're like, listen, as apostles, this isn't really our role. We need to spend more time in the word and prayer. So listen to what he says. It says, and so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following. And then it walks through the names of these people. Now, this is God's plan for these people, and this is the direction that God had for these people, but they didn't find it on their own. It happened inside of community. You see the same thing in Paul's life. Listen to the beginning of Paul's ministry, where he begins to take the message of Jesus to the world. It says, among the prophets and teachers to the church at Antioch, Syria, were Barnabas, and then it walks through the different prophets and teachers, and one of whom is Saul. And it says this, it says, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. And then listen to what it says next. It says, so after more fasting and prayer, why more fasting and prayer? Because together they wanted to affirm or confirm what the Spirit was actually saying. And so after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. And what God wanted to do in Paul's life wasn't something that he found on his own. It was something that he discovered inside of community. It wasn't that Paul one day was in a closet somewhere and God's like, okay, Paul, this is the deal. This is what I'm going to do with you. And no. Paul had incredible confidence in his calling because it had been confirmed by community. Listen to me. Listen. You cannot have confidence in your calling outside of community. And God says, no, I'm calling you into community. And I want for you to be able to engage this journey together so that when I'm working in your life, you can go into community of those people that you have those relationships with and say, I really feel like God's doing this. And somebody came up to me after the last service, and they're like, I really feel like God wants me to take this step. And I was like, man, I want to affirm that 100%. Like, even as I was speaking on stage, like, I felt like God was doing something in his life. And I was like, man, I just want to affirm that in your life. That gives you such incredible confidence. People ask me, when did you know that you were supposed to be a pastor? I tell them, same answer every time. 5 years after I became a pastor. Why? Because you figured out that you were good at it? No, because it was confirmed by community. So I could have incredible confidence in it. And as you're on this journey, if you're gonna find and live God's will for you, God's gonna call you in all sorts of different ways. You need community to be able to know, okay, when and where is God, to help you have confidence in that, to confirm and affirm that in your life, to keep you safe sometimes too. Because sometimes you're going to think God's leading you in a direction, and it's not the direction. I have people come up to me pretty frequently with this. And it's amazing how this works out sometimes. And I had someone a couple years ago come up to me and they said, "Yeah, I think God's calling me to leave my family and become a missionary." And I'm like, nope. They're like, "What do you mean?" Well, let me take you to God's word and let me talk to you about responsibility and what this looks like in terms of taking care of your kids and your wife. And sometimes we're kept safe by it. It's interesting. I don't get this one a lot. Sometimes Anthony used to be an actor, so he gets this one sometimes where people are like, "You know, I'm praying through it and I just feel like God's calling me to become an actor." And Anthony looks at them. Nope. I've seen it. Like, no, I'm just going to tell you right now. But it keeps us safe. And so God says, no, I want you to step into community. You need to engage my family. And it gives you incredible confidence in where it is that God's calling you. And I know for some of us that's difficult. And sometimes I'll interact with people and they'll say, "Listen, I love Jesus. I just don't like the church." And there's good reasons for that. There's good reasons for that. I mean, I'm a part of it, so that's a good reason for that. There's good reasons for that. I understand that. And sometimes people have experienced things. But here's the thing. God knows that you're not going to be able to find your calling. You're not going to be able to have confidence in where it is that he's leading outside of community. And I always challenge people to be very careful with the way that they talk about the church. As a matter of fact, inside of our dinner groups, if the dinner group leader ever walks you through kind of the guidelines of how we do group, one of the fundamental things that we talk about, or the basic things, is that from the very beginning at Hoboken Grace, we don't talk about other denominations, we don't talk about other churches. And people will ask me, "Well, why is it that you do that? You don't want to offend anyone?" And I said, "Well, it's not really about offending anyone else. It's you have to understand the way that God talks about his church." Let me take you to another passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says this. He's talking about the church. "For I am jealous for you." He's talking about the church. "With the jealousy of God himself, I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ." Did you know that the scriptures talk about the church as the bride of Christ? Did you know that? There are two main pictures that we see when it comes to God's relationship with the church. One is his wife. The other picture is that we're his kids. We talked about that last week. And here's something that I learned in life. Just a really important lesson. For some of you, this may be the biggest thing that you get out of today. And if that's true, like, you need to know this, you need to learn this, like, every single person, you need to know this. And it's just this. I learned that this is important. You don't talk about someone else's wife. It's just like a fundamental thing. All of us should know. It's just a good thing for you to know. And the second one goes right with it. You don't talk about someone else's kids. It doesn't go well. It never goes well. And so people say, "Well, why do you do that?" Well, because that's his wife. I'm going to be super careful with how I talk about his wife. I'm going to be really careful with how I talk about his kids. And I know, like, the church isn't perfect. You're a part of it, I'm a part of it. We've screwed that up. Like, I know that. But God's saying, I want for you to know your family. They're not perfect, but neither are you. And you need your family. And sometimes it'll be difficult and you have to work through things. But I promise you this, as you engage this, if you'll follow him and respond to this call, as you're on this journey with him, your greatest experience of love will be his love for you. But second will be the love that you experience in his family. God says you need your family. You need your family. And we don't discover purpose alone. We do it together. It's not a me thing, it's a we thing. We do it together. And I want for you to have confidence in what I'm calling you to do, in what I created you to be, and the life I created you to live. And so I'm not just going to tell you, I'm going to tell the person next to you too, and the person behind you, and the person in group, and the person that you serve with, and they're going to be able to affirm and confirm in your life how I'm working and moving so you can have confidence in your calling. For some of you, this means that you just need to take a step out and pursue community. The way that we partner with you in that is something that we call dinner groups. You've heard us talk about them for weeks now. It's just a group of anywhere from 6-10 people get together, have a meal together, engage life together, bring these questions in. I'm working through this. What do you think? What? It's a group of people just like you. And she shared it in her story. She said, you know, I was scared the first time walking in. You don't have to be scared, but you probably will be a little bit nervous as you step into it. But here's the thing. We want to partner with you, but it's still your responsibility. And we can't create community for you. You have to answer God's call into community and decide, like, no, I'm going to, in faith, take that step of courage. And as you step into a group, let me be super clear because I want to make sure the expectations are realistic. You're not going to step into a group and find perfect community. That's not going to happen. But what will happen, and this is typically the way that it works, is that you step into a group and you have two or three people that you really connect with. You like the rest of them, but there's two or three people that you can begin to really have these conversations with. And then your group multiplies and you find yourself in kind of a different group and you connect with two more. And then your group multiplies and you find yourself in a different group. This is actually why it's important for groups to multiply, because you need to be engaging all these different people inside of God's family. And as you're inside that group, you connect with a couple of people, or on your impact team, you connect with a couple of people, or you go to a connection event and you connect with someone, and all these different, we're trying to partner with you so that you can engage God's family and answer God's call into community. And as you're engaging that, God's going to be able to help you to develop that in your life. And for some of you, it's just taking the step and saying, you know what, I'm going to sign up for a group. I'm going to step into it. And stepping out in faith. For others of you, you're already in a group, but you just kept those walls up. You walk in a group with those walls up. And you're interacting with God about what he wants to do in your life, but you're not interacting with them about what God wants to do in your life at all. One of the things that's really heartbreaking for me is when someone walks into a group and announces what God has for them and the decision that they've made, and they've never talked to anybody else about it. I'm always suspect of that choice, good or bad, whatever it may be. Why? Because God doesn't call us. God doesn't call us to engage the journey that way. He calls us to process this and follow him together. And I know some of you are here. This happens a lot where, I don't know, maybe you don't do this. I do this a lot. Where God steps into our lives and is like, I want it to work this way. This is what I want for you to do. This is how it works. And then we come back and say, God, that is an excellent plan. But I want to do it this way. And I think this would work even better, God. And I know you planned this thing from the very beginning and then it's all kind of fallen into place up until now. But I don't know if you know about the future. So here's the thing. Like, I've got this other plan. And then you know what we do? This is amazing to me. I do it too. I do the same thing. We go to God and we pray and we pray and we pray for him to work our way. Like, come on, God, like, if you'd really, like, if you love me, like, make this work out. And some of you are doing that as it pertains to community. And you're on this journey alone. And what have we said from the very beginning? Don't seek alone. Don't seek alone. Don't seek alone. But you're trying to seek alone. And you're praying and saying, God, I just want you, come on, God, you can make this work out. And God's like, no, no. I'll tell you something that never happens in my household. I never come to my kids and say, hey, listen, I want you to do it this way. This is the way it works. And they're like, yeah, but Dad, this is the better way. And I'm like, oh, okay. No, no, I told you how to do it. Like, how long? But it's amazing how we do that with God. And the amazing thing is that God in his grace keeps pursuing us. But he's not interested in blessing your plan. This is how it works. And he's calling you into community and saying, come on, come on, come on. You need your family. We need our family. It's a we thing, not a me thing. Will you answer the call? Will you pray with me? Father, it's amazing to me the way that you love us, the way that you have called us, the way that you have grace for us when we try to do it another way and we think we have a better idea. And Father, I just pray for those who are here and they're nervous to step into community. They're nervous to answer this call. I pray that today would be the day where they decide to step out in courage and faith. And they understand the importance of it in their lives. I pray also, I pray for those who are here who have stepped into community, but they're keeping those walls up and they're not actually sharing what it is that they think you're doing and how you're moving and working in their life. I pray that they'd stop looking at the decisions of life as a me thing and start understanding, no, we can have confidence when we engage this together. Father, thank you for even the incredible love that you display through this whole thing, that you display in this. In Jesus' name, amen.